From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Walk in the Light. The text is John chapter 12, verse 46, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. This world is dark as midnight. Jesus has come that by faith we may have light, and may no longer sit in the gloom which covers all the rest of mankind. Whosoever is a very wide term. It means you and me. If we trust in Jesus, we shall no more sit in the dark shadow of death, but shall enter into the warm light of a day which shall never end. Why do we not come out into the light at once? A cloud may sometimes hover over us, but we shall not abide in darkness if we believe in Jesus. He has come to give us broad daylight. Shall he come in vain? If we have faith, we have the privilege of sunlight. Let us enjoy it. From the night of natural depravity, of ignorance, of doubts, of despair, of sin, of dread, Jesus has come to set us free. And all believers shall know that he no more comes in vain than that the sun rises and fails to scatter his heat and light. Shake off thy depression, dear brother. Abide not in the dark, but abide in the light. In Jesus is thy hope, thy joy, thy heaven. Look to him only, and thou shalt rejoice as the birds rejoice at sunrise, and as the angels rejoice before the throne.
And
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. As he continues his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns concludes the second of two messages entitled The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life. In verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1, Paul describes the work of the ministry for which Christ had commissioned him. For the apostle, evangelism is the first task of the church. Then it's the job of the ministry to establish believers in the gospel so that they may serve God effectively. Furthermore, the ministry must edify the people of God. That is, it must build them up and encourage them in the faith of the gospel. Finally, the servant of God is to work for the enrichment of believers, to bring them to a mature understanding of the gospel and its implications. Now here's Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life.
There's no way that I or any other preacher alive today can compare himself or his ministry with that of the Apostle Paul. But in some small way, I can certainly make this statement. I think only God knows the battles that any faithful preacher has to face and has to battle in the loneliness when the pulpit ministry is over. When all hell is against you. When the hiss of the serpent is in your ear to make you despair and tell you it's all in vain. I think Paul must have known of that. And he says, I want to go to Rome to be comforted when I see the fruit of my ministry in the lives of God's people. And I want my ministry and my faith the faith that I preach and the faith by which I live it to be an encouragement and an example to edify the people of God. This is the two-way traffic. It is my job as a preacher, and if I fail in this, I will answer before God. Fearful thought. To set the gospel before God's people. And as much as in me lies to live the gospel before God's people, that they may be encouraged and edified. But then if that happens, I will be strengthened. Then this is the fullness. This is where the gospel is not only the foundation, but it's the very fullness of life. This is the fullness of joy. This is a comfort. When a preacher can look out and see lives evangelized, yes, established, yes, solid, and edified, a source of gracious encouragement because of what God is doing. And then there's one final thing, and that is enrichment. He said, I long to go there that I may enrich you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Some spiritual gift. What does he mean? There are many gifts in the New Testament. Some of them are ordinary. Well, that's not a good word, but it's the best I can come up with. It's the usual word, ordinary. In other words, the non-apostolic, non-charismatic, non-supernatural gifts. Then there were extraordinary gifts in the early church that were associated with the ministry of the apostles. You look at your New Testament, only the apostles had the power to lay hands on a person and communicate the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nobody else has that power. So what was he talking about? Did he mean an extraordinary gift? Or did he mean an ordinary gift? There were certainly some gifts already in the Church of Rome. And I would think that some of these people had already been in touch with either Paul. Well, I know that some of them have been in touch with Paul. Some with other apostles. But we do find that in Romans 12, he speaks of some who have gifts differing according to the grace that is given. Some of the gift of prophecy. Some of the gift of ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving. They had various gifts. The gift of prophecy would well have been one of the extraordinary gifts. So what did he mean? I think it's possible that he meant to give both to equip the church. But I think best of all what he meant was, I have a great gift to give you. And this is the spiritual gift. And I think that the rest of the book is the exposition of this. And that is a mature understanding of the gospel. For what does he go on to say? I want to impart unto you a spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. And as I put it from 1625, there's nothing established as a Christian but the gospel. So this was his wonderful, glorious task. When he wrote to the Corinthians, for example, he told them that they were enriched in all utterance and knowledge. He told them in the second epistle, chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which or generosity, which causeth us thanksgiving to God. Men and women, God wants us a rich church. Now, I haven't turned charismatic, but he wants this church to be rich. Rich in the gifts of his grace. Rich in the gifts that he mentions in Romans 12, and he mentions more fully in in Ephesians chapter 4, and some of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And certainly in chapter 13, he wants this church to be rich in the gifts of grace. You'll notice that that enrichment will lead to all the others, the establishment and the edification, and it will enable us to evangelize. This was Paul's task. It was a good task, a heartsome task, and as he was comforting them, they were comforting him. When he looked at these people, you know, I think he had in mind what he had when he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, 1, he says, "My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, you are my joy and crown." When he wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20, he said, "What is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Paul says, in effect, "I live or die according as this gospel succeeds or doesn't in your lives." I could have no joy in the wealth of the world. I can have no joy in the acquisitions of the world. He's saying to these people, and I say to you quite honestly, if I cannot see this gospel do this work in this people, what joy is there in this world? Oh, there's the joy of sins forgiven, yes. There's the joy of Christ the Redeemer, yes. But unless, as a preacher, I can see this gospel governing your lives, then I go out to meet God with the dread realization, I have lived and I have preached in vain. Doesn't matter how much money we bring in. Doesn't matter how many churches we help. Doesn't matter how many poor people we help. Doesn't matter what other social good we do. If this church is not a church marked by evangelism, by establishment, and by mutual encouragement, and by this enrichment of the gifts of grace, if this church is not marked by this, then what's it all about? But I am persuaded that the gospel is the power of God. I am persuaded that God did not send me from Ballymoney to Greenville for 20-something years now to occupy a pulpit, to enjoy a nice climate and get to know new people. All those things are all very well in their place. I am persuaded that God sent me here that I may impart unto many of you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I am persuaded that this gospel works. I am persuaded that this gospel will do all that God has ordained and commanded that it do. And I want to tell you, I am utterly persuaded this gospel is the greatest success story in heaven, earth, or hell. Let us believe it. Let us live it. And as we will see more fully next week, following up on the first point of tonight, let us then go and tell it. And if we do that, then with Paul, happily, I can go on my way and say, ye are my joy and crown. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. I want to ask you tonight, if you've ever really been evangelized, if you've ever really heard the good news to the saving of your soul, if you ever really come to Christ, if not, then come without delay. Let me ask you, if you say I'm a believer, does this gospel govern your life? Or is it something stuck out there in the periphery? Just enough religion to stultify your conscience. How is it with your soul? Oh, make sure tonight that you're saved and that this gospel governs your life. Father in heaven, bless thy holy word. We do thank thee for it. What a wonderful salvation thou hast given us. What a glorious Savior the gospel tells us about. Oh Lord, we pray, turn every eye upon Jesus to look full in his wonderful face. Let the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Part us with thy blessing. Send us out from this place of people ready to live out what they believe in the gospel. Give us an evangelism baptized with the power of the Spirit of God that will be mightily used of God to the winning of men and women across America and across the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.